Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Moed Katan Daf Yud Gimel. We are holding on Yud Beis Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. In the Mishnah, we learned that at times one may perform malach on chayla moed, for instance, to avoid financial loss. Dover avid, provided, says the Mishnah, ubulvad. This is seven lines from the bottom, the last line of the Mishnah. Ubulvad shlo yichavein es malach to be moed, provided. He didn't pre-plan this malach. He knows, well, chayla moed, a good time, I'm off from work anyways. Let me look after the dover avid. You may not do that. In fact, says the Mishnah, if he proceeds in this manner of a kulon, im kivnu malachtum lemayid, yoy vedu. He has to allow the merchandise to go bad. He has to take the loss. It's a knas derabanan to discourage this type of behavior. We want to leave Yom Tov free of any other activities to allow and enable simcha as Yom Tov. Says the Gemara two lines from the bottom. Boi minei Rabbi Yirmiya mirabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiya asked the following question of Rabbi Zera. Kiven malachta b'moyed. Suppose a person does pre-plan that appointment for chala moyed. Umeis, and then he passes away. Mau sheyiknesu b'nav achrav. Did Chazal apply the penalty to his children as well? Meaning, the fellow himself, who purposely planned this work for chala moyed, may not proceed with that work. That's clear. What about his children? And the Gemara later will tell us that the Shaila basically is, when the Chacham applied this knas, this penalty, is it a personal knas? Or is it something which applies to the item itself? In yeshiva they would say the gavra, the person, in which case the son is not responsible, only the father is guilty, not the son. Or is it the heftz, the item itself, the mamain, the property, the merchandise? Don't look after it. Let it go bad. In which case, it carries over to the son as well. Mau sheyiknesu banav achrav. Does the knas carry over to the children as well? Now, we have some other halachas which are strikingly similar to this one. Cases where a person did something wrong and Chazal applied a knas, an oinish. And the question will be whether we can compare the two. Let's go down the line. Perhaps if you'll suggest that in the following case, coming up in the Gemara now, the knas will indeed apply to one's offspring as well. In which case, perhaps you may think to compare our case to that halacha. The Gemara will say, no, you can't compare the two. Imtim tzilema, if you'll suggest that in the case of tzoram uizen b'chur, now the halacha is that a b'chur is meant to be given to a kohen. Who's meant to take that kohen to the Beis HaMikdash? Nowadays, there is no Mikdash. The only alternative would be to have it get a mum, so when it gets blemished, he can have that animal even outside the Mikdash. Nowadays, that's the only option. But a person may not inflict a mum on a carbon. Rashi brings a pasuk. Mum lo yeboy. The drush is, mum lo yahayeboy. You can't apply a mum to an animal. To a carbon. It's Issa Deraisa. It's a lav. What if he does do that? Tzoram oizen b'chur. He clips off. He chips off the part of the ear of the b'chur and makes it into a mum. There's an Issa. Issa Derabbanan. It was a premeditated mum. He may not partake in this b'chur. What if he passes away? Does that knas carry over to his children? Even if you'll tell me it does. Soram oizen b'chur konso b'no yachrov. Perhaps you can be mechalik. You can differentiate between there and here. That's because mishum de isur deraisa, because in that case he committed isur deraisa by adding a mum to his carbon. Mash enkin by the chalamoyed case. It's not isur deraisa. After all, it's a lover of it. It's to avoid financial loss. It's mutter. Problem is, it was premeditated. This is the Rabbanan. So perhaps the knas de Rabbanan only applies to the person himself who committed that wrongdoing, but not to his children. And it's different than Bukhar, where it's an Issa Deiraisa that was done, in which case perhaps Chacham were more machmer. In that case, the Knas would carry over to his children, but not by Chol HaMoed. Next comparison, Vimtim Tzeleimar. And if you'll suggest that in the following case, the Knas does carry over, in which case, Mochar Avdoi Lo'ed Gichav. One may not sell his Eved Kanani, his non-Jewish slave, who can perform mitzvahs while he's in the Israel's possession. He may not sell that Eved to the Goy, who won't allow him to do mitzvahs. You're not allowed to do that. If he does that, there's a Knas, he has to go redeem it, as per the sugya in Maseches Gittin. So even if you'll tell me that in that case, it does carry over to the children as well, they also have to look after this Eved. They have to redeem him. If one sells his non-Jewish Eved, his Eved Kanani, to a non-Jew, umeis, and the seller passes away, just as he has an obligation to redeem, the children as well have to look after the Eved. The Knas carries over. Even if that's true, we're not sure, but even if that is so, you cannot compare to Chol HaMoed. Why? Because over there, it's so severe. We're dealing with something more serious, Mishum the Chol Yoima, because on a daily basis, Mafkele Mitzvahs, he's not allowing the Eved to do mitzvahs. Every day that he sits by the Goy, that he's owned by the Ovid Kechavim, he cannot do mitzvahs. So it's an ongoing wrongdoing. In which case, perhaps the Chachamim insists that even the children have to go redeem him. What about our case? Davar Ovid, Chol HaMoed, who says it's so severe, so strict? Hachamai, what would we say by us? Gavra Kanis, is it a personal penalty? Gavra Kanis Rabbanan Baalasa, this fellow is no longer here. He passed away. Oidilma Mamayna Kanis Rabbanan. Perhaps the Knas applies to the money itself. This thing can no longer be looked after. So even if it no longer belongs to the perpetrator, it belongs to the children, Yoyvedu, it has to go bad. But is it because the item is still here? So which way is it? So he presented a very comprehensive question. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zeira, look, I know about all these other halachas, and perhaps over there we shall say that it will carry over to the children, but that's perhaps because it's more severe. It's the rights, it's hafkoah, I'm in mitzvahs on a daily basis. What about Bechol HaMoed, which doesn't have those elements? What would you say? Amar Leih, Rabbi Zeira responds, I have an answer for you. An answer from a Mishnah. Tani Suah, listen to this Mishnah. Sada shen iskafta b'shvius. A sada which was cultivated on shvius. Iskafta means the thorns were removed from the field. Tizora l'metzoy shvius, you can still use that field, you can plant in that field after shvius. There's no knas there. Tesis points out that, of course, he's speaking that the thorns were detached from the ground rather than attached, because in that case you're uprooting and you're doing a melacha d'oraisa, of course, the knas would apply. We're speaking about clearing thorns which are just lying around. Okay, so there's no knas there. But nitaiva, that's what was really enhanced. In nidaira, nitaiva, Rashi learns, is manual fertilization. In nidaira is another method of fertilization. They take the animals, bring them over here where they shed their waste. In this case, you actually enhanced the land itself. It's a more substantial type of effort. Loi to Yizora l'metoy shviz. We don't allow this field to be worked on after shviz as well. There's a knas, because he performed work on Shemitah. Okay, that's the Mishnah. We have a Kabbalah from Rabbi Seinu. Hey, Tiva, umes. Suppose he enhanced his field, he fertilized, and then he passes away. Benoi Zaira, his son that takes over, can plant a field. He doesn't have the knas applied to him. Alma, apparently, l'didei, kanser rabbanon. The knas only applies to the father, the one who did the iser, l'brei, l'kanser rabbanon, but doesn't apply to his son. Nachinami, as well, by chayla mayit. L'didei, kanser rabbanon. The knas only applies to the perpetrator, the one who was mechavim melachto b'mayit. L'brei, l'kanser rabbanon, but Chacham does not apply a knas to his children. Amar Abaye, I have another right. Nakatinan, we have a Kabbalah from our Rabbi Seinu. Ti meita harois of shel chaveroi. Suppose a person took taharis, something which is tar, belonging to his friend, and made a tummy. So he inflicted damage, but an unnoticeable damage, not a tangible physical damage, a more of a spiritual damage. So menatoira is potter. Midirabbonon, he has to pay up, because we don't want people to get into the habit of doing that. So here's another example of knas. Timi tarois avu meis, and he passes away. What happens then? Loikonsu b'noi achrov. The knas doesn't carry over to his son. My taimon. Hezek she'ene nikar. A hezek. Damage which is not visible, not noticeable, such as becoming tummy. Loishmi hezek. It's not really considered hezek and does not carry responsible. There's no chiv to pay for that. Minat Torah. Midrabbanan, we want to discourage this type of thing, and therefore we apply a knas, we have to pay up. However, lididei kanser rabbanan, it only applies to the perpetrator. Librele kanser rabbanan, but not to his son. So bottom line is, we had a shiloh, whether a knasa is the rabbanan apply to the person himself, and only to that person, to the gavra, or does it apply to the mamain, the chefetz, and will carry over to his children as well. We have two rayas, one from Shemitah, one from Metam Metaroisa, where the halacha clearly states it only applies to the person himself, not his children. And that's going to be the conclusion regarding Chol HaMoed as well. His son doesn't have to suffer on account of his father's wrongdoings. We had two cases, Mum of Bechor. We had the case of selling the Eved to a Goy, where the Gemara was unsure, but actually Tosis brings that the Gemara elsewhere does conclude that even in those two cases, the knas does not spill over to his children. Continues the Mishnah. One may not engage in buying and selling. One cannot purchase a house, a slave, an animal, on Chol HaMoed, Ela L'Tzorech HaMoed, unless it's needed for Yom Tov use. A house to live in, Eved to serve him, etc. Tosfos says, of course, there's no chiddush. This applies to any type of item. Why does the Mishnah spell out these examples, houses, Avadim and Behema, says Tosfos, there is a chiddush here, it's a rabusa kamashmal, and even these items which are befarhesia, it's something which is public, a home, an eved, and perhaps I would think you cannot do that on Chol HaMoed. It falls in the face of the Kavod HaMoed, it's Mezazel HaMoed. No, you can do that because it's L'Tzorech HaMoed. So you can do it L'Tzorech HaMoed, or as the mission continues, Oy L'Tzorech HaMoicher, She'en Loi Mayoichel, or if it's for the sake of the seller. He doesn't have what to eat, things are tight, and he's selling this item so that he can earn money to pay for his Yom Tov expenditures. And the Farshim point out that we're speaking not necessarily that he doesn't have anything to eat, but things are pretty much tight, and this would allow him to be more generous with his Yom Tov expenditures. That's another reason why he can go purchase a home from that seller who will now benefit and have what to spend for Yom Tov. So again, two reasons to purchase on Yom Tov, if the buyer needs it or the seller needs the funds for his Yom Tov expenditures. Continues the Gemara. What about in the following case? Bo'imine Rava, he asked a shayla mirav nachman. Schar pu'ula. She'en loy mayoichel ma'u. What about taking on a job? Hiring oneself out. On Chol HaMoed to perform a malach. Actually, to offer a job. Can you hire somebody? If this fellow is ein lo mayoichel, he doesn't have funds to support his Yom Tov expenditures. Mahu, what is the halacha there? So basically, you're asking Yisrael to do work for you. Work which is generally asur on Chol HaMoed, but in this case, you're hiring him for the sake, with the objective of providing him a salary so that he can have for Yom Tov. Is that mutar or not? So in the Mishnah we learned about buying and selling. That's not a genuine, bona fide malach in that case. The Mishnah says clearly, you can do it for this purpose, to provide the seller with his much-needed funds. But here we have another case which is a bigger chiddush. You're actually doing a malacha. You're working, you're fixing your roof. You're doing a malacha. Can you do that? Can you hire somebody? Can you give him a job to do a real malacha on Chol HaMoed if the objective is to provide him with funds for Yom Tov expenditures? Amalei Rav Nachman responds as follows. I have a Mishnah that you can do that. Tanina. What does it say in our Mishnah? You can buy a home. L'tzorech HaMoed. Right? Oy L'tzorech HaMoed. And then it says, She'en lo mayoichel. Oy L'tzorech HaMoicher. Sorry. Oy L'tzorech HaMoicher. She'en lo mayoichel. So you can buy l'tzorech hamoed, or l'tzorech hamoicher, which means if the seller needs the funds. Then the Mishnah adds four words. She'en lo mayoichel. What does the Mishnah mean? It's one case. L'tzorech hamoicher means he needs these funds because he has nothing to eat. The Mishnah is using extra words. We don't need that extra phrase. It would be enough to say l'tzorech hamoicher. We don't understand that it means he's trying to supply him with his funds. So she'en lo mayoichel, those four words, lasuye mai, what are we coming to add with that phrase? Oh, lav lasuye schar pu. Apparently, Mishnah is coming to include our case. Giving a job, hiring somebody for a malacha and chalamayid in order to provide him with wages for his yomtiv expenditures. Our Malay rabbi responds, no, that's not pshat in the Mishnah. Pirushin ke mefarish. The Mishnah is simply explaining itself. It's one and the same case. L'tzorech ha-moicher means she'en lo mayoichel. But we're not speaking about hiring a worker to perform a real malacha. So buying and selling for this purpose is mutar, but to do a malacha, just to supply him with funds for Yom Tov, that's us. Eis v'abayi, comes abayi and asks a kasha. He says, look, Ravi, you're not sure, you're assuming that it's aser to hire somebody if the point is to supply him with money for Yom Tov. Listen to this Mishnah. One may not write a loan document on Chol HaMoed. You may not do ksiva on Chol HaMoed. But suppose the lender doesn't trust the borrower. I can't just give him $1 million without a receipt. Or he has nothing to eat. In this case, you can write the shtar. Now, what does this mean? Who has nothing to eat? Who's short of funds? My love, Lasuy is Harpula. Apparently we're speaking about the scribe, the sefer himself. Who needs these funds for Yom Tov? Because as Rashi points out, we cannot be speaking about the loiva, the borrower. Because in the case of the loiva, you can write the shtar regardless. The Mishnah says, if you don't trust him, you can write a shtar. Because it's a davar of it. Right? Give him the money without a receipt, you're not going to see it again. So that itself would be reason enough to write the shtar. You don't need to have this additional element that he has nothing to eat. So apparently when the Mishnah adds these words, she'en lo mayoichel, was speaking about somebody else, the other individual involved here, this cipher, who's short funds, and you can go ahead and hire him for the job. Ask him to write your shtar in order to provide him funds. My love, aren't we speaking lasuyas charpul? The Mishnah is coming to include hiring the sefer to provide him with money for Yom Tov Shema Minah. It's a right, our shayla, it's mutter. Moshe Rav Sheshes asks Rav Sheshes on Abaye, how can you say that it's mutter? Listen to this Mishnah in Pesach. So we know that on Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, one must refrain from Malacha. It's the time of the Karban Pesach, it's like a Yom Tov. That's the Kuli Alma. The Mishnah speaks about the point of time between the beginning of the day and Chatzos. That's toloi in minig amokim. In some places they had a minig to refrain from malacha. In some places they did malacha throughout that period as well. The point of refraining from malacha during the first portion of Yudalad bin Nisan Erev Pesach is to enable a person to allow him time to prepare for Yom Tov. Look after the Pesach, the matzah, the marah, the chametz. So even in a place where they had a minig to refrain from malacha, some malacha is amutav. Chacham Imrim. Shalosh umnuyos, three professions, oisin malacha bar v'psach mat chatzos, can offer their services on Erev Pesach until chatzos. Who are these three professionals? Hachayotin, tailors, vasaparin, barbers, vakoifsin, laundromats. What is the reason for this? Why are these exempted? Hachayotin, tailors, shekein hedyut teifer kedarkoi b'chaylo shomoyet. Because, look, Erev Pesach is not more severe. If anything, it's more lenient than Chol HaMoed. And if we find that these three professions aren't business during Chol HaMoed, if these things can be done in any circumstance during Chol HaMoed, so we stretch that to Erev Pesach, we say, you know what? These things are okay. A tailor. There is a manner. There's a oifen of sewing on Chol HaMoed Beheter. We learned this a few days ago, the Hedyot. A layman, a non-professional, can so kedarkei, normally on Chol HaMoed, and therefore on Erev Pesach it certainly is mutter. See, the point is that Chol HaMoed is a time of Yom Tov, time of Shvisa from Malacha, and when the Chachamim applied the din of Shvisa to Erev Pesach, they followed more or less the guidelines of Chol HaMoed. Look, this constitutes Kedusha, this constitutes sort of a mini Yom Tov, and therefore we follow the same guidelines, and whatever is mutter in some fashion of Chol HaMoed is mutter in Erev Pesach all the way. That's the formula we're working with. So therefore, tailors can perform work on Erev Pesach and Tochatzois, just as sewing, in some cases, is mutter Chol HaMoed. Hasaparim va'akoifsim, barbers and laundromats, shekein ha'aboyim v'dinis hayam, because we find in some instances, you can take a haircut or wash your laundry on Chol HaMoed. Shekein ha'aboyim v'dinis hayam, people coming from out of town, v'yesim v'dinis asurim, people coming out of prison, mutar l'saper l'kabes, they can take a haircut, they can wash their laundry, b'chol HaMoed. And therefore we say that on Erev Pesach as well, the saper and the barbers, v'akoifsim and the laundrers can be in business. Okay, now, says Rav Sheshes, we see in this Mishnah that there's a direct connection between Erev Pesach and Chol HaMoed, and if a specific type of work can be performed in any which manner, in any way, during Chol HaMoed, then we say, you know what? You can do it on Erev Pesach regardless. According to you, Abaye, that you may hire a worker if he needs those funds for Yom Tov use. You can do that on Chol HaMoed. And you can do any malach if the objective is to provide him with funds. If that's the case, then here we go. We found an instance where malacha can be performed on Chol HaMoed. Any malacha. If so, the heter should extend to Erev Pesach as well. And there should no longer be any Isser malacha on Erev Pesach to Chatzos. Because during Chol HaMoed, any malach is mutter under certain circumstances. And according to you, if you're going to tell me that schar pu'ulo, shein lo mayech l'shari, you can hire somebody, give him a job. If he needs those funds for Yom Tov use, you can do any malach in this circumstance. An Chol HaMoed. If so, kol malach is not melishteru. So getting back to Erev Pesach, all malach should be mutter. Because on Chol HaMoed we find some scenario where any malach is mutter. Schar pu'ulo shein lo mayechal. So according to you, Abaye, if this is true, that schar pu'ulo shein lo mayechal is mutter on Chol HaMoed, in which case we find an instance where any malach can be done, right, under certain circumstances, any malach can be done on Chol HaMoed. If so, Erev Pesach, which is downgraded, which is a step down, which is more called than Chol HaMoed, we should allow that malacha to be done regardless of the circumstance. Just as the Braisa connects Erev Pesach to Chol HaMoed regarding tailors, barbers, and laundrers. Mask of the Rav Papa. Comes Rav Papa and he asks a kasha on who? On Rav Sheshes. Like a chain reaction here. You're asking on Abaye? If what Abaye is saying is true, that a person can hire himself out, if it's Elam HaYoychel, if that's the case, then how's there an Issa Malach on Erev Pesach? So you're asking on Abaye. I'm going to ask on you, Rav Sheshes. If you're telling me that there's a direct correlation between Erev Pesach and Chol HaMoed, I'll give an example of a malacha which all agree, midan Chol HaMoed. It's not connected to Abaye, to Awashayla. There's a universally accepted case, a halacha, of a malacha that can be done Chol HaMoed. And according to you, Rav Sheshes, that we're meant to connect Erev Pesach to Chol HaMoed, it should be mutter and Erev Pesach as well. Elamiyat, if that's the case, if that connection is true, that formula holds true, that Erev Pesach draws from Chol HaMoed, binyan l'shtari, you can build on Erev Pesach, build a house. Why? Because we find in some instance, in some form, building is mutar Chol HaMoed. Shukain kaisel ha-goyel l'shisarab. If you have a wall that's leaning into the street and places the passerby in danger, so yisur b'ayna kedarka, you can demolish and rebuild it. Normally, to avoid danger. So since we find some case of building, which is mutar Chol HaMoed, according to your formula, we connect Erev Pesach to Chol HaMoed, you can build Erev Pesach. Build a house. Of course, that's not true. So apparently, there's something wrong with this connection, with this formula. Furthermore, Maskev L'Ravina, Ravina adds to the Kash. Elamiyata, according to you, that we connect Erev Pesach to Chol HaMoed, Lav L'Lishteri. any sefer can sit down and write on Erev Pesach. Why? Because we find that there's some writing permitted in Chol HaMoed, in some instances, in the case of Davar Avid, Shekin Kois for Kiddushin Noshim, you can write a document for Kiddushin, to Mekadosh Isha, to concern that somebody else might take her first, as a Davar Avid, Gittin, you can write a get, for concern that the husband might leave town, leaving his wife Aguna, Vishayvar, you can write a receipt for the loiv, otherwise perhaps you won't see the money. So these are cases of Davar Avid, which are Mutar Chol HaMoed, in which case writing should be Mutar in Erev Pesach regardless. If writing is Mutar Chol HaMoed in some instances, we should stretch that Heta to Erev Pesach. So basically what they're asking is, you Rav Sheshir seem to connect Erev Pesach to Chol HaMoed. That was your basis. That was the basis for your Kasha on Abaye. Again, let's go back a second. We had a Shaila. The Mishnah speaks about buying and selling L'tzorech HaMoed, that's Mutar. If you need the home, you need the property, you need the item for Chol HaMoed, or L'tzorech HaMoicher, who has nothing to eat. Okay? Then we had a Shaila. What about doing a real Malacha under these circumstances to provide the worker with wages, with funds which will provide for his Yom Tov needs? That was a Shaila. Rabbi suggested, no, you can't do that. Abaye says, of course you could. I have a raya. The Mishnah speaks about allowing a sofer to write a shtar if he needs the funds for Yom Tov. Okay? That was Abaye's conclusion. You can do that. Comes Rav Sheshes. Look, we have a braisa, a Mishnah. You can do things on Erev Pesach as long as you can do them in some form of Chol HaMoed. Because the Kedusha of Erev Pesach, the Yom Tov status of Erev Pesach, is related to the status of Chol HaMoed. What's mutter by one is mutter by the other. Now, if you can do a malacha to earn wages on Chol HaMoed, you can do any malacha on Erev Pesach. Because if malacha is mutter on Chol HaMoed, it's mutter Erev Pesach. Apparently, what you say, Abai, is incorrect. Apparently, it's not true. You can't hire yourself out on Chol HaMoed if the point is just to earn those wages. That was Rav Sheshes' kasha. Come, Rav Papa and Ravina, ask on Rav Sheshes. 1 second. You're working with a premise that Chol HaMoed is connected to Erev Pesach. And whatever is Mutar Chol HaMoed, under certain circumstances, is Mutar Erev Pesach blank check? And that was the basis for your Shaila on Abaye. I have 2 examples. Building, writing a get, a shayver, Kedusha Isha, where all agree it's Mutar Chol HaMoed. Sakana, Davar Avid, and of course, there's no reason for it to be Mutar and Erev Pesach. And we don't find that it's Mutar Erev Pesach. So apparently there's something wrong with this formula, with this connection between Chol HaMoed and Erev Pesach. Elam Rav Ashi, I'll explain to you what's going on. You cannot connect the two things. You're right, you can't connect Moed, A'arba, Asar Karamis. You mean to ask from Chol HaMoed to 14, to Erev Pesach? 2 different systems, unrelated to each other. Moed v'shem tirchahu. The reason to refrain from Malacha on Chol HaMoed is to avoid exertion and tircha. We want you to enjoy your Yom Tov. Don't be distracted by work. And therefore, if you're facing financial loss, Chacham Malarit, explain the Ritva. There's no greater distraction than impending disaster. So take care of what has to be taken care of and come back. So it's a formula of tircha. The formula is Simchas Yom Tov. It's a day of Kedusha. You're not meant to do anything that involves Malacha or Tircha. Anything that distracts from the Simchas Yom Tov, from the Kedusha Yom Tov. That's Chol HaMoed. And therefore, although typically we don't do work on Chol HaMoed, but Davar Avid is Mutar, you can perhaps hire somebody to do work if he needs the money for Yom Tov. Right? Because it's not going against Simchas Yom Tov, it's enabling Simchas Yom Tov. So that's when it comes to Chol HaMoed. Arba also, but Erev Pesach, it's a different system. It's based on other guidelines. Mishum Tzorech Yom Tov. Why do we refrain from Malacha on Erev Pesach? As not to interfere. So you don't interfere with the Hachanos, preparations for Yom Tov. You have time to look after the matzah, the maror, the Karam Pesach, Biur Chametz. Mishum tzorach yom tov, to allow preparation for yom tov. Mi did the tzorach yom tov shor rabban, something which is considered a preparatory activity for yom tov. It prepares for yom tov. The tailors, the launderers, the barbers. That's mutter. That's why the brisa connected to Chol HaMoed. Look, you can do sometimes, you can do tailoring on Chol HaMoed because it's enhancing the Yom Tov. And therefore, in Erev Pesach as well, it's enhancing the Yom Tov. It's Hachanas Yom Tov, it's Tzorech Yom Tov. But me did the love Tzorech Yom Tov, but something which doesn't conform to that. It's not considered Tzorech Yom Tov. Such as Dover Ovid, Leshor Rabban, Rabban didn't allow it. Because at the end of the day, it's interfering with your Hachanas. You need time to prepare for Yom Tov properly. Says the Ritva, if so, even a Dover Ovid will be Aser Erev Pesach. It's different than Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, the point is, don't interfere with Simchas Yom Tov. Keep to the spirit of the day. It's a Yom Kaddish. It's a Yom Tov. Don't do Malacha. Don't do Tircha. But a Dover Ovid, a situation of Hefzid, which in itself is a distraction from Simchas Yom Tov, go look after your item. Go look after your merchandise and come back and enjoy the Yom Tov. On Erev Pesach, it's a different system. We need time to prepare for Yom Tov properly. So something which is considered Tzorech Yom Tov, something which is a Hachana for Yom Tov, the tailors, the barbers, the kaivis, that's Motzer. But something which is merely to avoid financial loss, there's no Heter for that on Erev Pesach. What about Schar Pula, She'en Lo Mayechel, hiring somebody in order to provide him with wages for Yom Tov? That's also Motzer. Why? Says Rashi, five lines from the bottom of the Amid, Mishum Tzorech Yom Tov Shari, Kigoyin Hani Gimel Mniyos, like these three professionals, the barbers, the tailors, Vesuloy, and nothing else. Right? You can't rebuild a wall, you can't write the Kedushin Nashim, even those things that are Mutter Chalamoy, they're not Mutter Erev Pesach, it's a different system, it's a different reason. And Rashi, Vuadin, Im Ein Lama Yechel, same would apply to a person who has nothing to eat. He's lacking funds for Yom Tov expenditures. He can do work on Erev Pesach. Why? There's no greater Tzorech Yom Tov than acquiring funds for Yom Tov expenditures. So that's Mutter as well. So bottom line is, it seems from our Gemara that we pasken our Shaila. Yes, you may hire a worker. If the point is to provide him with funds, you can do this on Chol HaMoed. You can do it on Erev Pesach. But don't connect the two things. Erev Pesach is because of Tzorech Yom Tov. We want to give you time to prepare for Yom Tov. And therefore, says the Gemara, a Dover Ovid would not be Mutar on Erev Pesach. As opposed to Chol HaMoed, which is a Yom Kaddish, says the Ritva. The point is, keep to the Yom Tov spirit. Keep to the Simcha of the Yom Tov. Anything that enhances Simcha's Yom Tov is Mutar, including looking after a Dover Ovid. Okay, so conclusion. Purchasing on Chol HaMoed is Mutar L'Tzorech HaMoed, or to help the seller acquire funds that he needs for his Yom Tov expenditures. And as we conclude, the same would apply to Schar Pul, hiring somebody, giving him a job to do on Chol HaMoed, to perform any malach, if the point is to provide him with badly needed funds for his Yom Tov expenditures. Zok the Mishnah. So on Chol HaMoed, we refrain from malachis, and also from exertion. Even if it's a non-milacha exertion, that's also problematic on Chol HaMoed, because it detracts from Simchas Yom Tov. Ein mefanen mebayis lebayis. You can't clear stuff from one house to another, situated at a distance. It's tircha, which you shouldn't be doing on Chol HaMoed. Avol mefanu lechatzera, but you can clear merchandise out to the yard. The Gemara will explain what this means. Likewise, ein mevien kelim beis uman. One should not pick up kelim from the craftsman's shop, from the repair shop. You shouldn't do that in Chol HaMoed unless he needs it for Yom Tov use, of course. However, im chayshish lehem, if he's concerned about their safety, he's concerned about them getting stolen in the shop, mefanam l'chatzah acheres, let him just bring it over to another yard nearby. So minimize your efforts, secure them, and then go home. V'amris reisha im mefanin klal. Mishnah begins, you can't be mefana, you can't clear items from one house to the other. And then the Mishnah says, but you can take it out to the chatzah. What's the difference? The Gemara understood at this point that we're allowing from a bias to a chotzer situated at a distance from that bias. So what's the difference if it's a house to a house or a house to a chotzer? I'm not bias, no. Sefer Ason, the Sefer speaking, l'bayis shebechotzer. So what's happening is, you have a bias in a chotzer, and you're taking things from the bias just out to the yard, which is just a slight effort. It's not considered a tircha, and it's mutter and chol hamoed. So the bottom line is, close by is mutter, but to do a full-fledged moving job is us. V'ein levin kelim besuman. Amar Papa, Baduk lan Rav. Rav challenged us with the following question. Tznan, and now Mishnah we learn, ein levin kelim besuman. You cannot pick up your kelim from the repair shop. V'raminu, we have a kash, a stira, from the following, I think it's a Mishnah in Pesach. Moilichenu mevin kelim mibeisu uman. One can deliver a keli to the beisu uman. He can pick up kelim. Va'afal bishenu l'tzerach hamoed, even though he doesn't need it for chol hamoed. So here it says you can't deliver, you can't pick up anything from the beisu uman. And now Mishnah we learn. In the Mishnah, in the Brisa there we learn we could deliver, we could pick up, even if it's not l'tzerach hamoed. And over here we learned that you may not pick up kelim from the beisu uman. So we responded, we answered Rabbi's kasha as follows. It depends what we're speaking about. Kan bar bo asur. The Mishnah there is speaking about Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach. You can do a tircha as long as it's not malacha. Exertion tircha was never included in the Isser Erev Pesach. Kan bar chaylo shomoyed. Our Mishnah is speaking about chaylo moyed, where even tircha is problematic because it detracts from simcha as shant. Iboy, same another teretz. Hava bar chaylo shomoyed. Both Mishnahs are speaking about chaylo moyed. Kan b'ma'amina. Our Mishnah, which doesn't allow picking up items from the base of Uman, is speaking where he trusts him. And he feels that it's safe and secure in the Uman's possession. Therefore, there's no excuse. There's no reason to pick it up. Kan b'she'ini ma'amina. The Mishnah in Pesachim is speaking where he doesn't trust the Uman. Therefore, he wants to get it out of there as soon as possible. It's a davar of it. And therefore, he can go pick it up. V'atanya. As we learn in the following brisa, mevi in a kelim and base Uman. On chol hamoed, one can pick up kelim from the craftsman's shop. Could go and cut, for instance, a pitcher and base a kader from the pitcher shop. We're speaking that he needs these things for chol hamoed. Because a glass cup and base a zagag from the glassmaker's shop. Aval, but don't be involved in picking up things which are not l'tzurich hamoed. Loit semer base a tzabu, can't pick up wool from the dye shop. V'loy kelim mebeis uman, nor can he pick up kelim from the beis uman. V'im ein loy ma yoichal, if the uman, the professional, is short funds for yom tov expenditures, nois nois tzchareis, he can pay him for the job. Uman nichay etzlay, he leaves the item with him until after yom tov. V'im ein im aminim, what if he doesn't trust him? Manichay bebayis asamachlay, so he pays him, takes out his item and puts it next door where it's safe and secure. But if he's concerned that they might be stolen over there, in that case it's a davar avid. You can bring it back home discreetly. So it's clear in this price that although typically we avoid transporting things unnecessarily, but if it's a case of enim amino, if he doesn't trust him, in this case he's allowed to bring it home. So that's the terrorist avakasha, trusting him or not trusting. Tiras the mevin. So you've addressed the stira regarding picking up items. And now Mishnah where you're not meant to pick up is speaking where you trust the fellow. Why not leave it there? The Mishnah Psachim is speaking where you have no trust. And therefore you're allowed to pick it up. That answers that kash. Moilichin kash. What about the stira regarding delivery? Because in the Mishnah Psachim it says you can actually bring things to the Beis Uman as well. And in our Mishnah we learn you can't even pick up. Diktani ein mevin, you can't even pick up items from the shop. V'kosh kein shein mevin, malichan, certainly you can't deliver. There's no reason to deliver. An chol hamoed. Not meant to do the work in any case, and there's no davar, there's no reason to bring it. And in the Mishnah Pesachim, we learned you can actually deliver things. And you can't tell me because he doesn't trust him. Well, that's not a reason to bring things to him. So that's stira, it's still outstanding. Elam achavart, apparently the correct and clear approach is like we said originally, Kedishanyan Mikara, like we answered the first time around, different dates. The Mishnah Emayit Katan is speaking on Chol Hamoed. Don't deliver, don't pick up unless it's absolutely necessary. The Mishnah Pesachim, or the Brisa Pesachim, is speaking Erev of Pesach, where all we have is an Isra Malacha, which will take you away from the Erev Pesach preparations. But Tircha is Mutar, therefore, pick up, drop off, deliver, no problem. Zogt Mishnah, Machapin is Akzias Bekash. Here we have another example of Tircha on Chol HaMoed. He sees a rainstorm approaching. He has Akzias, figs drying outside. He'll have to cover them up. Machapin is Akzias Bekash with a layer of hay to protect them from the rain. Rabbi Doimer, Af Ma'avin, you could even thicken that layer to really protect him, even though it involves a greater measure of exertion and tircha. Getting back to buying and selling on Chol HaMoed, Moichei Peiros, those who are involved in selling peiros, now by the way, peiros doesn't just mean fruits, it means any edible item, any foodstuffs, fruits, or grain, you can sell that on Chol HaMoed, ksus, clothing, with kelim, Moichrim Betzina, all these merchants are Moichrim Betzina to Chol HaMoed, they can sell discreetly, without fanfare, a small scale arrangement, Letzorech HaMoed, if they're selling for the sake of Chol HaMoed. So why does it have to be Betzina? Let's take a look at Rashi, 12 lines from the top. Betzina, says Rashi, to avoid any impression of impropriety. People shouldn't think, well, he's buying for after Yom Tov, so keep it quiet, keep it discreet, keep it small scale. Continues the Mishnah. Hatzayodim, the hunters, but the sheishes, those who are engaged in crushing kernels for the making of cereal. Vagroises, those who are engaged in crushing beans, splitting them to two. In any case, all these food processors, oisim betzina, letzorech hamoed, they as well can engage in their work quietly, if it's letzorech hamoed, to supply people with their Yom Tov needs. Rabbi Yossi, oimer, hei mechmir al atzma, no. The actual minhag hamakim is that people who are machmer, these merchants generally don't engage in these forms of work, these forms of activity, even letzorech hamoed. Now, we had two terms in the beginning of the Mishnah. Mechapen es akzias, that was the Tanakama. Rebida added the word ma'aven as well. How do we define mechapen? How do we define ma'aven? There was machlekes, pligiba, machlekes between Rab Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Asi, v'tavayu, and they were both discussing. They were both arguing. They both had different versions. Mishmei the Chizkiah of Rabbi Yechonah, as per how Chizkiah and Rabbi Yechonah explained the Mishnah. So Chizkiah and Rabbi Yechonah explained the Mishnah in a certain way, and there were two versions of how they explained the Mishnah. Chadamar, one version was Mechapen means Aklushi, a thin layer of hay over your figs. That's the Tanakama. And Rabbi Yehuda's Meikle. He says you can even be Ma'aven. Ma'aven means a smuchi, a thicker layer to really protect those figs. Vechadamar, the other Amor, had a different version of how to define the Mishnah. The word machapen mentioned by Tanakama means bein aklushi, bein asmuchi, whether a thin or a thick layer, it's irrelevant, it will be mutter. When Rabbi Yehuda comes and he says af ma'aven, that means oisa, oisa, you can mean kri, you can actually pile the figs properly, can mean kri, like a pile of grain, in which case the upper layer protects the lower layer, so it's more protected from that rain, and then you can cover it with hay. Tanya Mihach, we have a brisa in support of the second version. Ma'aven means ois ois and kmin kri, you pile up the fizz, divir Rabbi Yehuda. Continues the Gemara. Moichre peiros ksus vekelem, moichrem betzina. Rabbi Yisi adds, hey mechmir al atzman. Now, would Rabbi Yisi a machmer, or was Rabbi Yisi being mekel? Again, Tanakama says, you can be engaged in selling all these items, letzorech hamoed, provided that it's done betzina discreetly. Rabbi Yisi adds the words, Heim hechmiru al atzman. What does he mean to say? Does he mean to say that I agree in principle that it needs to be done betzina, but you should know that the merchants around where I live were machmer, not to engage at all in buying and selling. Is that what he meant? Or does he mean like this? It's coming to be mekel, to be lenient. Al pidin, you don't have to do betzina. Look, it's a tzorech hamoed. Blank check, go and sell. No reason to hide what you're doing. But actually, you know, the merchants will machmer to do it bitzina. So actually, he's being mekel. You don't need to do bitzina. The tzina element is not required, but it was actually done by the merchants as a chumra. When Rabbi Yisi says, hein machmir al atzma, he means lo yahava avdi klal. The merchants around where he lived wouldn't engage in commerce at all. So that was their chumra. So al bidin it's mutter, provided that it's bitzina, but they refrained at all. Or did he mean to say davu avdi betzina? That technically it doesn't have to be betzina, but they were machmir to do betzina. But al pitin, you don't need betzina. Tashma, we have a raya from a brisa. What did Rabbi Yossi mean? Brisa says, Moichir Peres, Ksus Vekelem, Moichir Bitsina, Utzerech HaMoed. This is Tanakama speaking. You can buy and sell Bitsina, Utzerech HaMoed. Both elements are needed for Yom Tov use and discreetly. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Tagare Tveria, the merchants in Tveria, Hey, Nachmir and Latzman, they were Machmir on themselves, Shaloy, Moichir and Kalikir, they wouldn't engage in selling at all. So it's pretty clear what Rabbi Yossi meant. This is what he had in mind. That the Moichim were Machmir not to engage at all in commerce. But theoretically, he agrees with the Tanakama that in order to allow this type of activity, it has to be Letzerech HaMoed and Bitsina. Continues the Braisa. Sodei Chayes Vaifes, V'dogim, all these trappers, animals, fish, Sodan Bitsina Letzerech HaMoed, they can do their thing Letzerech HaMoed, Bitsina. Rabbi Yossi Eimer, Sodei Akai, the hunters in Akai, Hey, Nachmir Latzman, they were Machmir Shloyu Tzadn Kalikr, they wouldn't engage in hunting at all. Third example is the Shushi, the crushers, the grain crushers, who would make the Chilka. The Gemara soon explains what this means, taking the kernel, crushing into two, Targus into three, Batisna into four. So all these grain processors, Deshish and Bitsina, they could do their thing quietly. The fellows in Tzipori, Hey, Nechmir al-Atzma, they were Machmir Shloyu, Deshish and Kalikr, they wouldn't engage in this at all. So it's pretty clear what Rabbi Yossi had in mind. Apidin, it's mutter, if it's Bitsina, but I happen to know that all over town, the merchants are generally Machmir to refrain from all these types of activities in Chilamayit. We discussed Chilka, Targis, Vitisne. What are these things? Chilka means Chada, you take one kernel of wheat, Latarte, and split it into two. Targis means Chada Latlas, split into three. Targis is try, right, into three. Tisne means Chada Labor, into four sections, in which case it was suitable for, you know, for use for cereal, like oatmeal. Kiyas, Rav Dimi Amar, Rav Dimi came, he had a different interpretation. He says the word Chilka doesn't mean the kernel of wheat split into two, it means Kunta. A kernel of spelt. Mesve, of a kashmir of dimi's pshat. How can you say that chilka means a kernel of spelt? The mission says like this. Chilka, targis v'tisne. These three items, tmein b'chol mokim, are susceptible to tuma anywhere they are. Meaning, we assume that they got wet because generally, they need to be soaked to enable this type of processing. So once it gets wet, we know it's huchshel l'kabal tuma, becomes susceptible to tuma. So the assumption is that Chilka, Targus, and Tisni have been soaked and are mukshel lekabel tum. That's the mission. Now let's analyze. Bishlam ilaman de'omar chad le'tarti. At last larbo, according to Abaye, it works. Abaye says that these three things, Chilka, Targus, and Tisni, means a kernel of wheat crushed into two, three, or four sections. And that requires soaking beforehand. Mishum hachi t'mein m'chal makim. That's why the mission says they're considered tummy. They're hukshel lekabel tumma. Wherever it is, a town or city, this kasha because it got huksha gawet. El mandama kunta, but according to Rav Dimi, that chilka doesn't mean a crushed kernel of wheat, which requires soaking. Rather, it means a kernel of spelt, which wasn't soaked. Amai tmein b'chol mokim, why is it mekabel tuma? Hello, you kasha, never got huksha, never got wet. And says the Gemara could go into mekalf, and we're speaking that it was shelled, it was peeled, the skin was taken off. This spelt kernel, di lav de sharlu b'maya, because if they wouldn't have soaked it in water, lo yav amakaf, it wouldn't properly peel. So the fact is, we know that it got wet. V'amay kar lechilka, why do we call this kernel, this spelt kernel, with a lashon of chilka? Some of it means taking a wheat kernel, splitting to two, chilka, chelek, split into two, but a kernel of spelt, why give it the name chilka, according to Rav Dimi? The shaka chilkayu, because it's smooth element was removed, meaning the skin was removed. Meisvi, you have another kashmir of Dimi, who maintains that chilka is a kernel of spelt. Hanoi de mina dogan. Person makes a nether to refrain from all forms of grain, dogan. What's included in that? Asur afa pula mitzri yamish. Even beans are included. Not only the five grains, but even beans. Pula mitzri, a certain type of bean, which has been dried out. It's considered dagon. They pile it in a pile. It's ready for consumption. But if it's still moist and fresh, that's not yet considered dagon. It's not yet meant to be piled, not meant to be consumed. So it's not included in the term dagon. What else? Is he mutter? Umutter ba'eres. He can have rice. Bechilka? V'targis v'tisni. You can have these crushed kernels. Because they're no longer considered dagan. They're not dagan in its original form. Of course, you still make a mezainis on it. But by nedarim, we follow loshen b'nei adam. What people have in mind in their form of language. The word dagan is referring to the kernels, the grain in their original form. So once it's been crushed, turn into oatmeal, it's mut. Let's analyze the brisa based on Rav Dimi and Abaye's discussion. According to Abaye, it makes sense that chilka means one into two, targis means crushed into three, tisna means split into four. Shaper, I understand why the brisa, why the Mishnah, no longer considers these substances to be dagan. The naf kulu mater is dagan. They're no longer considered dagan in its original form. According to Rav Dimi, that the word chilka is referring to a plain kernel of a spell, dagan ma'ayud. It's plain grain. It's the original form, kasha. Indeed, it's a kasha. Let's go back to chalamayit. Rav Huna, Sharluhu, he gave a heter. He allowed lahanu krufyais. He allowed these spice sellers, lemezal, lizbuni, to go around selling their wares, kiruchayu, normally. Shook out in the marketplace without vitzina, sell it the way you usually do. The Torah Hamayit. Eser of Kahana, Rav Kahana, the Kasha from a Brice. Chanos Pesuchel is stuff. There's a store that's open to an alleyway. Pesach Ben El Kedar can open the doors, close them, no problem. Because by default, circumstantially, it's low key, off to the side. It's not going to create zilzel, lack of appreciation or respect for Chalamayit. But if it's Pesuchel Shesurab, open to the main thoroughfare, you have to downgrade. Paseach Achas, Fanoel Achas. So you leave one door open and one door shut, so sort of halfway open, halfway closed, to keep it low key, in keeping with the spirit of Yom Tov. Ve'er of Yom Tov Achon Shochag. But come the last day Yom Tov. So Erev of the last day of Pesach or Sukkot. Moitzi or Ma'ater, Eshuke or Irbe Peres. Now everybody knows you're selling for Yom Tov. You can bring out the wares, bring out the food, and be ma'ater, adorn the streets, the shukah ya'ir, the marketplaces with peiros, b'shvil kavod yom tov ha'achrin, in honor of the last day yom tov. It's pretty clear from the brisa that only in this case, we play kavod yom tov ha'achrin in. You can only publicly sell your stuff on Chol HaMoed if it's clearly for the sake of yom tov. Shaloi mipnei kavod yom tov loi, but if it's just the middle of Chol HaMoed, it's not clearly in preparation of Yom Tov, you can't do it publicly. So how could Rav Huna allow these spice sellers to go around selling their spice openly? Like Kasha, the answer is, it depends what they're selling. Havet peiros, they're selling peiros, in which case Rashi says, this is a chashad. The person might think, well, he's selling it, he's buying it for after Yom Tov, because peiros last long term. So there, you have to minimize, be discreet, don't make a scene. Havet tavlin. But if they're selling spices, spices are something that must be kept fresh. And it's pretty clear that you're not buying it for after Yom Tov. So there's no chashad in this case. There's no concern of people thinking that he's preparing for after Yom Tov. In this case, as Rashi, afilu beferhesius mutter, and that was the reason why Rav Huna allowed the spice sellers to make their rounds selling their spice the way they normally do. Hadran Allah mishafach. Okay, let's do a quick chazor of today's daf. Davar Avid is mutar Chol HaMoed, but if not, if it's pre-planned and premeditated, there's a knas. Yoyvedu, you have to let it go sour. Does this knas apply to one's child as well? Passes away, his child takes over. Does it apply or not? We have two rayas that it does not. We have a similar halacha by Shvius, where a person does a malacha. Does a knas apply to the person, but not to his son? He's matamit taharis shel chaveri. Knas is applied to him, he has to pay up, but not his children. Likewise, by Chol HaMoed, the Gemara assumes the same thing applies here. The Knas applies to the perpetrator, but not to his children. We had two more cases. The Mum applied to the Bchur, and Eved sold to a Goy. The Gemara figured perhaps, in that case, the Knas will carry over. Lamaisa Tesis brings the Gemara that it does not. What can be purchased on Chol HaMoed? You can buy things like Tzorech HaMoed, even homes, Avodah, Behema, certainly food. And you can also do it if it's Tzorech HaMoed, to provide the seller with his badly needed funds to supply his Yom Tov expenditures. He must do it b'tzina. We have two exceptions to that. That's the tavlin that we just discussed, or Erev Yom Tov Achron, in which case it's apparent that it's for the sake of Yom Tov. Rabbi Yisrael brings several cases of merchants who are machmer to refrain from all these types of activities on Chol HaMoed. We discussed hiring somebody If the point is to provide him with funds for Yom Tov, you can do it on Erev Pesach, you can do it on Chol HaMoed. You meant to avoid Tircha on Chol HaMoed as well, transporting things at a great distance. Amakim Karev is Mutter. What about bringing and delivering Kalim to the Beis Uman? So bringing to the Beis Uman is Aser. Bringing back would be a problem, except in the case where he doesn't trust him or he's concerned about the safety of his item. And of course, the Tircha HaMoed would be Mutter. Covering up ktsiyos to protect them from the rainstorm would be mutter, according to Tanakama. Mechapin is mutter, according to Wamshan. The Gemara means thin or thick layer of straw. Rabbi the adds, af ma'avan, pile up the figs, so properly protected. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.